Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, coming to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today for the second time on this podcast is Brian Fetzer, UVA's Director of Cross Country and Track and Field. Brian, welcome back.
I appreciate the invite.
Before we discuss the big cross-country meet that's in town Friday, let's talk about another sport. You're a former football player and coach. What has impressed you about Mike London's team this season?
I would say that the biggest thing I've seen is they're playing with a lot of emotion. And that's not something that I guess that – I guess as a coach, you look at the little intangibles more than maybe somebody else does. And they've been playing with emotion on both sides of the football. I mean, those receivers I like seeing guys get fired up, and that's been fun to watch. It's kind of electrifying.
You have several football players in your track and field program, including defensive end Trent Corney. Will we ever see Trent throw the javelin here?
I hope so. Trent's pretty daggone good at it. He's actually talked to me about it. As long as his shoulder and everything feels the way it should, he should be doing that this spring.
Yeah, because he had shoulder surgery, I think, last year.
And he did.
Never actually been able to throw it here, has he?
No, and this is hopefully this is the first year that we can utilize his tremendous athletic ability.
All right, back to cross country. The Virginia Panorama Farms Invitational, which consists of a men's race and a women's race, will be run Friday morning on your home course off Earliesville Road. Tell us about the event, if you will.
It grows each year. Panorama Farms is known as one of the best cross country venues in the United States, so we're really blessed to have that opportunity to be able to call that our home. And you know, it's going to serve as a preview for the ACC championships that'll be here on October 31st. So we're excited. We've got some great teams coming out. It's really going to allow our men and women's programs to kind of see where they're at this point in the season. I mean, Arizona, the women were the national runners up last year, and they're here in town. William and Mary's been a perennial power. On the women's side, and they're in town. And on the men's side, you have several teams that are definitely going to be in the hunt to make the national championships with Auburn and Iona. I mean, Iona's ranked ahead of us right now, and Duke as well. So, I mean, it's going to be exciting. Our men's team actually goes against 7 out of the top 12 teams in the country in the first 2 weeks of the season. So we actually get to see if we're as good as what we think we are.
The distances are different in men's and women's cross country, right?
They are. Yeah, we run 6K for the women, and the men run either 8K or 10K. The 10K, they only run that during the two championships at the NCAA level, but everything else is 8K.
What starting times tomorrow?
10 a.m. for the women and 11 a.m. for the men.
For fans who are interested in seeing the races in person, you can find directions to the course on VirginiaSports.com and in the track and field section. Is it a spectator friendly event?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Some people joke with me and think that I'm kind of like a circus leader when it comes to cross country, because we've got the bands coming out. We have food trucks, that will be out there at the event. We get the cheerleaders passing out pom poms. We'll have music playing the whole time. I mean, Cavman will be out there. You got to make it so it's a fun event. And the one thing, the sight lines of Panorama, I mean, you're talking about it's going to be a gorgeous morning. And, I mean, it's a beautiful place just to be in itself. But then to be able to watch, you can watch almost an entire race without moving too far, because I know I don't move too far. I kind of stay in the same spot.
As you mentioned, the ACC Championships will be held at Panorama Farms on October 31st. Is there a home course advantage in these meets?
I don't necessarily think there's a home course advantage. I think there's an advantage about being home, because you are going to be able to sleep in your own bed. You're going to be able to go through your daily routines, as you would any other day. So there's that comfort level. When folks race, they race. There's not necessarily an advantage being on one course or the next. I mean, obviously we're a little more familiar with this course, but the ACC and cross country is the best conference in the country without question. And, so everybody's going to be really good and be gunning for the championship.
Todd Morgan, who coaches the women's cross country team, and Pete Watson, who coaches the men, were among your first hires here in January 2012. What was your history with those guys, and what made you focus on them from the start?
Well, I mean, I knew both of them back from when we all coached in the SEC, and was very impressed with what they did with the programs that they had there, and you know, they fit the mindset and, you know, what we were trying to accomplish. You know, when I took over the program here, they were the guys that I wanted from day one, and I was excited to get both of them. You know, we wanted to make sure cross country. If you look at the distant aspect of a program, it's the only event group that hits all three sports. Mm-hmm. So that was my main priority, to get the distance side of things going first, because I knew that was going to lead us to success down the road. And you know, I think we're right on track where we want to be. You know, we got to keep getting better, but you know, being a top 10 team perennially is our goal, and I think for both programs we're right on the cusp of that.
Yeah, the women finished second and the men fourth at the ACC championship last year, and both teams are ranked in the top 15 nationally right now. Kyle King placed 18th at NCAA's last year, which was the highest finish ever by a man from UVA. How is Kyle running this fall, and who are some of the other standouts on each team?
Well, Kyle has really a testament to Kyle and his work ethic. He's really developed over the last couple of years and has really bought into the system. He's doing a fantastic job. There could be some pretty special things happening for him. Zach Harriott and Adam Visake, are two other young men that have really kind of stepped things up. I mean, Adam making the national championships in the 10,000 last year outdoors. But you have the two returning freshmen of the year in the ACC, Connor Rogg, who was it 2 years ago and redshirted last mm-hmm. year, and then Thomas Madden, who won it last year. You know, so you have those guys, and, you know, it's exciting. We got a transfer, great transfer on the men's side, Evan Chiplock from the University of Missouri, who's going to add to it right away. And then we're going to have to see, you know, how the young ones do, some of the young freshmen, you know, in our program. We've got, you know, some talented ones, and we'll see how they can fit into that top seven.
What about on the women's side?
On the women's side, probably the word to describe our program more than anything else is depth. What we're talking about as a staff, and we really have 14 girls that can do something, and that serves very well, because you can kind of go with the hot hand as the year goes on. But you know, we got two transfers that came in: Morgan Kelly from Harvard as a grad student, Iona Lake from Great Britain, and both those two will make some pretty immediate impacts. But Maria Hodder was the ACC Freshman of the Year last year, and Maria is going to have a great year. She's very fit right now. And it kind of goes down. We really, you know, brought back a lot of individuals that had success last year. Sarah Fockler, Sarah Sargent, both were NCAA participants along with Jennifer Flack. So, I mean, it's exciting to have depth on the women's side because it pushes them, you know, and to see who's going to be able to you know, make that top seven to actually go to the
Nationals. And people get hurt inevitably, too.
Inevitably people get hurt. I mean, that's just sport.
Yeah.
That sense that, hey, if somebody's a little banged up, we can get them healthy for down the road. That's a lot easier than if you have absolutely no depth whatsoever, and you got to be, you know, relying on your first five, then you could be in some trouble.
You mentioned the three transfers, cross country distance runners. You have three others for track and field: Jordan Young from Arizona, Kyle Smith from Central Michigan, and Cam Collins from Hampton, Sydney. Are those impact performers?
Absolutely. I mean, Kyle Smith and Jordan Young are both NCAA All-Americans that transferred in, and they'll be, you know, immediate impacts to the program. You know, it's interesting. I mean, most of our transfers that we have come in are graduate students. You know, they want to come to Virginia mm-hmm. to finish up their eligibility, you know, and get an incredible degree. So, I mean, the transfer route is really what we went last year overall on both programs, and it's exciting to see them. I mean, our throws program went from Coach Merrick coaching, some heptathletes and decathletes his first year to, you know, we think it's the best throws program in the country right now.
When you look at the bios of your athletes, it's common to see seasons where they didn't compete. Seems to me that redshirting in track and field and cross country is used differently than it is in football, for example. If somebody is redshirting, does it usually mean he or she is hurt, or do you do it for competitive reasons?
Not necessarily. A lot of competitive reasons, especially in specifically if you look at two events, and that'd be the field events with the men on the track and the distance races on both genders, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for first years to kind of get the hang of things. You know, with the distance part of things, I mean, we usually redshirt the, you know, at least one season because they can't really handle the volume, the training. And for the throws, it takes so much strength gain to go from on the men's side of things. You're throwing a 16-pound shot, which is a lot heavier than the high school shot. You know, that just that maturity level is such a big difference. And, you know, somebody in a distance or a field event by their fifth year is so much more competitive than, you know, somebody that's coming in as a, you know, wet behind the ears first year.
When you were on this podcast back in February, Philip Mihaljevic had been at UVA for about 6 weeks. By the end of his first year in the program, or his first 6 months in the program, he held the school record in the shot put and was second all time at UVA in the discus. He became the first male from UVA to compete in two individual events at the same NCAA outdoor championship, and he was a first team All-American in both the shot and the discus. Can he top that as a second year?
I would say Philip could definitely top it. I think one of the most impressive things about Philip is he was named to the NCAA all academic team. And, you know, somebody coming in mid year into a school as challenging as UVA and to do as
and
well
with
as
a language barrier.
With a language barrier, for him to do as well as he did academically, I think obviously the athletic accomplishments are tremendous, but I think that was the most impressive thing that he did.
I mean, how much does it help him now having Jordan Young, having another elite thrower at practice every, and Martin is an elite thrower himself.
It definitely helps out. It's funny. Coach Merrick was saying he's going to have to put the reins back on both of them a little bit because they both want to, you know, they want to break a national record every single time they throw it in practice. So, I mean, that's definitely a huge positive, you know, for them for training. I mean, you got to have somebody that can push you, and you know, now having a group that can push him, it's great. And he's a great young man. He's a great leader, and fun to be around.
Funny thing is, discus was supposed to be his better event when he got here, and he ends up making huge strides in the shot
put. And that's, I mean, because the discus is such a technical event. You know, it's an old man's event. It takes a long time to get the right technique down, and Philip is such a good competitor. He likes the spotlight. You know, he throws it best when there's the most people around. And, you know, the shot put, you can do that because it's just brute force and you just chuck it. For the most part, I mean, obviously there's tremendous technique involved. But, I mean, but you can have that adrenaline, use the adrenaline to it. You get too much adrenaline going in the discus and not positive things are going to happen.
You have another returning first-team All-American in triple jumper, Ryan Satchel. How much better can Ryan get in his final seasons of indoor and outdoor?
Oh, Ryan continues to improve. He is a gamer. I've never been around a student-athlete that comes to a championship and performs at his absolute best when it's on the line than Ryan is. And Ryan's a tremendous leader too. So, you know, I mean, his sky is really the limit. I mean, he puts so much into it, and he's going to benefit our younger guys on our team more than, you know, from the standpoint of just being a leader as what he is, as being an actual competitor.
You were hired here in late December 2011, which means 2014-15, this school year, will be your third full year at UVA. How far along are the cross-country and track and field programs in terms of where you eventually want them to be, and what are your expectations for indoor and outdoor this year?
Well, I mean, I think we're right on track of where we want to be. Our men, with the addition of transfers, are probably a year ahead of where we'd actually have anticipated. You know, I think, you know, both cross country teams this year, our goal is to finish in the top 10, on both programs. And that's kind of the goal kind of going out each year, you know, on indoors and outdoors. I mean, we want to contend for an ACC championship on the men's side. I think we can definitely do that this year, both indoors and outdoors. The conference is so competitive, you know, and then, you know, we want to be able to break into the top 25 on both both genders. And I think we can do that. Once we do that, and, you know,
is it easier to do it the next time?
I think it's a lot easier because it's experience. You've been there. You've done that. Recruiting's been going tremendous. We've got some incredible recruits, you know, in place for next year in class of 2015. So, you know, it just kind of builds on it. I mean, people want to be around programs that win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I can only imagine, you know, for Steve with women's soccer or George with men's soccer. The more when that those final four trips last year definitely helped out recruiting this year. You know, I know that the success Tony had last year has helped basketball tremendously, and it just kind of builds on each other. And I think, you know, we've got a long ways to go. I don't necessarily know if I'll ever be satisfied with how well we do, but. You know, I think we're definitely on the right direction, and I think our team gets now what we have to do to be successful.
The core of your coaching staff has been in place for several years now. How much does that stability and consistency help, you know, just the day-to-day operation, recruiting and everything?
That was the biggest thing when I met with Craig, you know, when taking the job. That was my biggest concern. That was my biggest thing that I wanted to push for. It was, we have to be able to have assistant coaches that are here for a longevity, and we have to be able to take care of them, because that's how you build programs, when everybody's on the same page. And my coaching staff, I would not trade them for anybody in the world. They're dedicated. They get it. They're in it for the right reasons. They take care of the student athletes. They look out for their best interests, and they're tremendous technical coaches, which you can't find that too many places.
All right. One final question. Virginia is the 10th state you have lived in, I believe. I believe we went through
research.
That.
Yes.
When I did the first story on you. When you were hired here, you said you were tired of moving and you wanted to put roots down in Charlottesville. You still feel the same way?
No, absolutely. I like sitting on my deck on a regular basis and looking at the mountains. And you know, it's Virginia and Charlottesville. I mean, every single year that I'm here and every single time, you know, every month that I'm here, I fall in love with it even more. It's a great community. It's, you know, the camaraderie of the coaching staff, you know, coaching, you know, in general in the athletic department is unbelievable. There's some incredible support from each other. And, you know, I mean, this is an incredible place to be. If you're a Wahoo alum, you got to be proud of your university and about what it means.
Brian, thanks again for stopping by. Best of luck to all six of your teams this school year.
I appreciate that.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and updates on all 25 of our teams. And thank you for listening.